Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters, those of you who are here in the cathedral, and those who are watching by television, or listening by radio, or streaming by the internet. We come together today again on the fourth Sunday of Advent for our final preparations in anticipation of the Lord's Nativity. Let us now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault, therefore I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ your Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. When King David was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from his enemies on every side, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God dwells in a tent." Nathan answered the king, "Go. Do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that night the Lord spoke to Nathan and said, "Go, tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, should you build me a house to dwell in? It was I who took you from the pasture and from the care of the flock to be commander of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you went, and I have destroyed all your enemies before you, and I will make you famous like the great ones of the earth. I will fix a place for my people Israel. I will plant them so they may dwell in their place without further disturbance. Neither shall the wicked continue to afflict them as they did of old, since the time I first appointed judges over my people Israel. I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also reveals to you that he will establish a house for you. And when your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your heir after you, sprung from your loins, and I will make his kingdom firm. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall stand firm forever." The word of the Lord.
David, my servant, I will establish. establish your descendants forever and set up your throne through all ages.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, to him who can strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret for long ages, but now manifested through the prophetic writings and according to the command of the eternal God, made known to all nations to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
As we celebrate this fourth Sunday of Advent, we realize that the season of Advent is a season of preparation. Preparation to recognize and receive the ultimate gift of God. That God is the giver of all gifts. And the ultimate expression of God's love, of God's gift-giving, is the gift of his Son. It is very common for all of us to give and receive gifts at Christmas. And as we are preparing for the gift of the Lord Jesus, we could ask ourselves our motivation for giving gifts. Because what we are looking at Christmas is God's intention, God's reason for giving the gift of his Son. There are obviously very, very positive and meaningful reasons that people give gifts. Ultimately, it is the sign of one's love, one's respect, one's selfless offering of him or herself to another. And that should be the reason for giving. And in that giving is giving without expectation of receiving. But we know, as human life goes and as sin has entered into our life, there are other motivations for gift giving that we may have experienced on a small scale or a larger scale, and at times that we see in our society. We see people wanting to give gifts to impress someone else, which is a motivation that returns the attention back to me. Look what I can do for you. We also see a motivation, a mistaken motivation at times, which is a payback. You did something for me, so I'm just going to show you what I can do for you. Again, those types of motivations turn the focus in on the self. And so the readings today assist us in preparation for Christmas to look at this gift giving, the ultimate gift of God's Son to us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to us. If we briefly look at the first reading from the second book of Samuel of David, a person probably like many of us, although his circumstances were different. David, a humble shepherd, was taken by God to eventually be king of Israel, to bring a king forth to lead the people of Israel. David started off very humbly, a shepherd taken out of the fields, and became a soldier to defeat the enemy, etc., etc. But at a certain point, as we know the story, David had lust in his heart and fell in love with Bathsheba, and had her husband Uriah die, killed. And David kind of took over the situation for himself. He also came to a moment of repentance where he was contrite for his actions and asked God's mercy upon him, which was given. And so we find in the second reading of Samuel, the second book of Samuel today, the situation of David now wanting to give God something as kind of a payment for all that God has done for him, even to the point of being merciful and forgiving. But God, in this beautiful reading, reminds David through the prophet, basically, you've done nothing for me. It is I who will do for the people of Israel. It is I who give. Even though the desire of David to want to give God a temple to house the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God at the time, God reminded David, this is my work. And so it should speak to us as well during this final preparation for Advent. When we look at ourselves, what we have, who we are, etc., what we know, what we are given, the talents that we have, the treasures that we have, the time that we have, are we stewards of that or are we masters of that? And if we see ourselves as masters of our own life, perhaps we've reverted to a bit of the mentality of David. And the Lord wants to say to us, no, it is all mine. St. Augustine had a beautiful saying when he said, let there be pious confession of ignorance rather than rash profession of knowledge. A lot of us like to think that we know a lot and we want other people to know that we know a lot. But St. Augustine said, it is better to have a pious confession of ignorance. I don't know. Because in front of God, we don't know. God is mystery. God is other. God is beyond us. And we as human beings, in order to receive the gifts of God, must realize that God is other. What God can give us, we cannot go buy for ourselves. We cannot produce ourselves. It's total gift. Total gift. And so let there be pious confession of ignorance rather than rash profession of knowledge. And that brings us to our Blessed Mother, who is front and center in the Gospel of Luke today. When we look at God's choice of the new Ark of the Covenant, of the new one that would house God's presence among us, He did not look for the most knowledgeable, the most professional, the most accomplished person on earth. He looked for the humble virgin. He found in Mary the one who was humble, the one who could see that all was gift from God. As Mary sang the Magnificat in front of Elizabeth as she went to visit her after the Annunciation, "My soul magnifies, glorifies the Lord because he has done great things for me." That simple profession of God's work in her own life was the greatest preparation for her to receive the gift of Jesus Christ. And so it is for us in these final days of Advent, in our own spiritual journey, to remind ourselves, as Mary, "You have done all for me. You are the one who has done great things in my life. It is because of you that I exist," or St. Augustine would say, "I live and move and have my being in God Almighty." And so as we give gifts, as we receive gifts, let us remind ourselves that the greatest gift is the gift of salvation, the gift of life that comes to us from God alone. And as we come to celebrate the Christmas mysteries, let our hearts be humbled. Let us realize that it is not the knowledge of the things of God that are important in our life, but it is the profession that we believe in God the Father Almighty. In the life of Mary, perhaps the most important response in her own humility was, "Let it be done to me." And that, my sisters and brothers, as men and women of faith, is the true journey of faith. Let it be done to me, according to your word. Mary began a new journey at the moment of this Annunciation. She didn't know what would happen tomorrow, the next day. She didn't know what her future was. But she trusted in the one who could do all things. David was not an evil person at this point in his life, but perhaps he was a bit mistaken. "I want to build you a house. I want to do something for you." And the Lord reminds us that it is he who does things for us. It is first receiving the life of God in us before we are on mission to do great things in the name of God. And so as we prepare ourselves for Christmas in these final days, let us perhaps find ways to humble ourselves, to humble our minds, to humble our hearts, so that as we come before the manger scene at Christmas, as we look into the manger of Bethlehem, we do not see a God who is an adult, we see a God who is a child, a humble child who came to us as gift. And may we receive that gift of God into our lives with great humility, knowing that through that humility, God can do great things in and for us. Let us profess our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us now bring our prayers for the needs of the world to the one who can strengthen us and who is faithful without fail.
For God's holy church, as we continue to bear God's word to every corner of the world in the face of hardship and persecution, we pray to the Lord. For the safety of those who travel during the holiday season, and for the blessings on the gatherings of families everywhere, we pray to the Lord. For those who are discerning their vocations, that like Mary, they will be able to hear and respond to God's invitation to them, we pray to the Lord. For those who have gone to be with their Savior, especially Margaret Gallery, Robert Quesada, Patricia Barrientes, and Nick Martinez, we pray to the Lord. For the safety of the men and women of our armed forces, for their families, and for all who place their lives in danger in the service of others, we pray to the Lord. For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Manuel Salazar, deceased members of the Mew family, Joe Cueva, Oscar Martin, and Rebecca Gutierrez, we pray to the Lord. Special blessings and prayers for Tony and Alicia Perez, who will celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary on December 26th, and for all of the prayers and intentions that we hold in the silence of our hearts. My dear friends, for all of our needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Ever faithful and loving God, you keep your promises from of old. Graciously hear our prayers and grant them according to your holy will, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice. May the praise of the Lord be with you.
May the Holy Spirit, O Lord, sanctify these gifts laid upon your altar, just as he filled with his power the womb of the Virgin Mary, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up your hearts, O Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For all the oracles of the prophets foretold him. The Virgin Mother longed for him with love beyond all telling. John the Baptist sang his coming and proclaimed his presence when he came. It is by his gift that already we rejoice at the mystery of the Nativity, so that he may find us watchful in prayer and exultant in his praise. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. And giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
Dear Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help.
May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servants Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you, at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Thank you.
him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.